church? You must not have heard that. Nobody will ever love you as much as Jesus. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right, that's more like it. Well, it's good to see everybody tonight, and especially good to see this big group of young people here on this cool, rainy Wednesday night. And I'm so happy for a church that runs vans and goes out and picks up these teenagers and boys and girls. God bless you for that ministry already has. And we're so glad that each one of you are here tonight. You know, before I get into my message this evening, I want to read something that I carry in my Bible most of the time with me. And a lot of you young folks won't know who Billy Graham is. How many of you do know who Billy Graham is? Okay, all right, okay. Some old folks don't even know, so you don't care, all right? And but Billy Graham's the most famous evangelist that ever lived. And he's still alive. He's 97, 98 years old. And he doesn't preach anymore, but he has preached to more people than anybody who's ever walked on the earth. And there have been over 3 million people saved under his ministry. And he has an article in all the big city newspapers. It's still in there. People write in. And this was many, many years ago. And this letter was written by an 8-year-old boy to Billy Graham. And this is what it said. Mr. Graham, how old do I have to be before I can be saved? I'm 8 years old and I want to be saved. And I want to know for certain that I'll go to heaven when I die. I want to become a Christian. Am I too young to be saved? Here's Billy Graham's response to that boy. His answer, he said, no, son, you aren't too young to be saved. And I hope you will do so because it'll be the most important decision you will ever make. And one reason you aren't too young is because you know what things you shouldn't do. That is sin, doing what God says you ought not do. That's the first step towards being saved, is knowing what sin is and knowing that you're a sinner. Another reason that you're not too young to be saved is because you're old enough to know that God loves you. He sent his son to this earth to die for you on a cross. And he offers you salvation. He offers you the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sin. And if you will believe it and accept it, he will save you. Signed, Billy Graham. Isn't that good news? Now, I read that tonight, not just for the children that are here. We've got a lot of teenagers here, too. But I read that especially for parents tonight and for grandparents. Because if God deals with somebody's heart, we ought to let them come. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to give an invitation at the end of this message. I'm going to give a public invitation. And that's in the Bible. Jesus gave a public invitation. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and give your heart to Christ and respond to him, boy, girl, teenager, ma'am, sir, whoever, regardless of your age tonight. If God deals with your heart and you know you're not saved and you want to be saved tonight, there are a lot of people already been praying for you, and we pray that you'll come and you'll be saved. And parents, the Bible says, Jesus said, forbid not the little children from coming to him. And I've seen many, many times over the years, practically every week in my ministry, I've seen parents and grandparents keep their children from coming forward in an invitation. And friend, we are not the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
If God deals with somebody's heart, we ought to not only encourage them to come, we ought to get up and come with them. Amen? And so the invitation will be open for whosoever wants to be saved tonight and knows they need to be saved. We pray that you will be. All right? Because he is a good, good father. And nobody loves you as much as who? Jesus. Amen? And Jesus is God. Okay? Nobody loves you as much as Jesus does. Thank you all for a good job on that song tonight. Well, if you brought a Bible tonight, I want you to turn to a couple places. I want you to find Luke chapter 23. That's what I'll be preaching from. Luke chapter 23. And then I'm going to read one verse from John chapter 14. Okay? But Luke chapter 23, And if you don't have a Bible, just listen really well, and you'll be able to follow along without any problems, all right? I'm going to ask you if you would please stand with me out of honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. In Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 32, this is the story about Jesus being crucified on the cross in between two other men who were crucified as well, two thieves actually. And Jesus was crucified in the middle, all right? Beginning at verse 32, it says there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, talking about Jesus, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and another on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. An inscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, saying, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
John chapter 14, verse 6, a lot of you know this verse by heart. Jesus said, say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Lord, we're grateful for the gospel and the power of the gospel. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for the empty tomb. And we thank you that Jesus is Lord. And Father, tonight I pray as we preach the gospel, that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray you would convict. I pray you would convict of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. I pray that you would draw every unsaved person, every lost person in this building tonight to the Lord Jesus, that they might be saved even tonight before it's everlastingly too late. Father, thank you for your love and mercy and grace. We ask that you would save souls and change lives, for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you all to listen to me very carefully, all right? Listen to me very carefully. Even the adults, too. I want you all also, amen? Everybody said amen. Okay. I heard about a lady one time who was teaching a Sunday school class of preschoolers. I mean little 4 and 5 year old probably. And the topic that day of her lesson was how to get to heaven. And so she taught her lesson very thoroughly and very well. And in order to kind of cover her lesson, she began to give some illustrations and ask some questions. She said, Now kids, I've shared with you from the Bible what it takes to get to heaven. She said, but I want to ask you a few questions. She said she wanted to make sure they were paying attention and that they had followed along with her. So she said, if I sold everything that I have and I gave it away to the poor, would that get me to heaven? All the kids in the classroom shouted, no. She felt pretty good about herself. She thought, well, they're paying attention. They're listening because that will not get anybody to heaven. She said, what if I went about every day doing good deeds and helping other people, would that get me into heaven? Once again, all the children together shouted, no. And the teacher thought, this is good. They're paying attention. She said, well, what about this? She said, what if I obeyed my parents And I treated my brothers and sisters with kindness. Would that get me into heaven? Once again, all the children shouted no. The teacher said, well, let me ask you this question. She said, how about if I found homes for all of those animals, all those dogs and cats down at the animal shelter? What if I found homes for all of them and I was good to them and fed them? Would that get me to heaven? Once again, all the children shouted, no, that won't get you to heaven. She thought, man, they are doing good. They paid attention to the lesson. She said, well, let me ask you another question. She said, what if I cared for all the widows and all the orphans and I fed and clothed all the hungry and all of the poor? Would that get me to heaven? Once again, all the children shouted no. And so the teacher sat there and she said, well then, none of those things will get you to heaven. She said, then what must I do to get to heaven? And a little boy sitting in the very back, about 4 years old, raised his hand. She said, yes. He said, you got to be dead. Amen? Well, you know what? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. You got to be dead to go to heaven. Unless the Lord comes back first in your lifetime, you're going to have to die. In this passage of Scripture that we looked at over in Luke chapter 23 just a moment ago, we see the picture of Jesus dying on the cross. He's dying in between two others who are nailed to the cross as well. One of the men on one side of Jesus that day died in sin, and he is now in hell. Another man on the other side of Jesus died to sin, and he's in paradise. He went to heaven. And then the man on the middle cross, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, died for sin. And what that means is he died for you and for you and you and you and you and for me. He died for the sins of the entire world. And when Jesus was dying up on that cross, he became the sacrifice for our sins. And it was our sins that nailed him to that cross and put him on that cross. And because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, and because he was the sacrifice for our sins, which means that he took our sins in his body, and God the Father poured out his wrath and judgment upon Jesus upon that cross, the thing that you and I deserve, Jesus took it in his body and paid our sin debt in full. So because of that, friend, we can be forgiven of all of our sins. Because of that, we can have eternal life. And we can know without a doubt that we'll go to heaven when we die. Man, I'm looking forward to going to heaven one day. And you know what? I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm going to go to heaven because on February the 18th, 1983, I had a spiritual birthday. On that day, I was born again. On that day, I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life, and he saved me, and he changed my life, and my life has not been the same ever since that day. Amen?
Amen.
I love John 14:6 that we read a moment ago. Jesus made it very clear. He said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And he said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And you see, young people, there's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to be saved. We've got to come through Jesus. We've got to come through the cross. We've got to come through his blood. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to look at one person in particular in this story about Jesus being crucified on the cross. I want us to look at the man that died on one side of Jesus, the one who trusted Jesus, the one who accepted Jesus, the one who went to heaven with Jesus. And I want us to look at him in the final moments of his life, and I want us to examine what he did in order to go to heaven. What did he do to get saved? What did he do to become a Christian? What did he do to have forgiveness of sin and eternal life and assurance of heaven that's his home? What he did, now listen everyone, is the same thing that you and I have to do to have it. Amen? So I want to show you what he did tonight. Well, let's walk through this together. The first thing that he did is he acknowledged or he admitted that he was a sinner. That's the very first step towards being saved. I don't care if you're 7 years old or 12 years old or 15 years old or 50 years old or 70 years old or 110 years old. That's the first step for anybody towards being saved is you have to acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. Look down at verse 41 in Luke chapter 23. Well, back up to verse 40, excuse me. It says, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are under the same condemnation?" You see, one of the thieves was mocking Jesus and blaspheming Jesus and saying terrible things. The other one realized who Jesus was, all right? And he rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are under the same condemnation, the same judgment?" But look at verse 41. And he said, "We indeed justly." We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing amiss. In other words, he's not even sinned. So what's the first step? What's the first thing it takes in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven when you die, in order to become a Christian? The first step is you need to admit, you need to understand that you are a sinner. All right? Acknowledge to God, "God, I am a sinner." You cannot be saved until you admit that to God. This man was a sinner by his own admission, and he acknowledged that to Jesus. You see, admitting that you're lost. You say, "What's it mean to be lost, preacher?" Lost means to be without God. Lost means to be without a Savior. Lost means that your sins haven't been forgiven. Lost means that you're not on your way to heaven. And so that's the first step, is to admit that. You see, the Bible says we all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." Not some, all have sinned. And fall short of the glory of God. That means we miss the mark. The very best day we ever live, the very best deed we ever do is not good enough. I would not trust the best 15 minutes I've ever lived in my life to get me to heaven, and neither should you. The first step is to acknowledge, admit, "God, I'm lost. I know that I'm a sinner." Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. You know what that means? That word death is not talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death. And it says the wages of sin is death. And that means separation. So hear me tonight, young people. Hear me, sir. Hear me, ma'am. If you haven't been saved, if you haven't been born again, right now, you are separated from God. And if you die in that condition, lost, unsaved, you'll be separated from God forever in an awful place the Bible calls hell. So here's this man. He's not going to hell. He's going to heaven. Because Jesus turned to him and said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." See, he acknowledged that he was a sinner. Listen, friend, we are all sinners by nature, and we are sinners by practice. We are under the curse of sin. The entire human race is. It all goes back to the first book of your Bible, the book of Genesis, to the first man. His name was Adam. And when Adam disobeyed God, that brought sin into the world. That brought a curse upon the world and upon the human race. People say, "Man, I can't understand why the world's in such a mess and we got all these terrible things." It's very simple to explain. It's simply because of sin. And the world is under the curse of sin. The human race is under the curse of sin. And that's why you need to be saved. Because that's man's problem. We are sinners and we're separated from God. But God's got a solution, and that's Jesus. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you. So this man acknowledged that he was a sinner. You know what that means also? It means that he repented. He had a repented heart. You know what that meant? That meant he was sorry for how he had lived his life. It meant he was sorry for his sins. He regretted the terrible things he had done. And that's repentance. So repentance, hey, listen to me, you got to repent. Repent is a change of mind about your sin and about yourself and about God. Would you say that this dying thief repented? How many of you would say that? Yeah, obviously. He's got a repentant heart, doesn't he? He's got a repentant heart. He said back in verse 41, he said, "And we deed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds." He says, "I'm a sinner." He acknowledges that to God. Friend, listen, even the best person you've ever met in your life, the best person you've ever known, is a sinner and needs a Savior. You gotta be saved in order to go to heaven. You gotta become a Christian. You gotta be born again to have your sins forgiven and have eternal life. But I want you to notice the second thing that he did. First of all, he acknowledged or admitted that he was a sinner. He repented of his sin. But secondly, look what the Bible says in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou come into your kingdom." All right? Now, what's he doing? The second thing that he does in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, is he confessed Jesus as Lord. All right? That's the second thing he did. First of all, he acknowledged he was a sinner. He repented. And now he confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? He's acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Listen, Jesus was not just a good man. Jesus was not just a teacher or a prophet that went about doing good. Jesus was the divine Son of God in flesh upon the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And he confesses him as Lord. To confess Jesus as Lord, you're confessing him as King, as God. And he acknowledged, he confessed that Jesus is Lord. Now, why is that important? This is what I'm going to say, young people. Listen to me very carefully. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this. Listen to me. It said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, did you get that? It said you got to confess with your mouth that he's Lord and believe it with your heart. Amen? In verse 10, it explains verse 9. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with confession of the mouth is salvation. So he confessed that Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? That means over 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to this earth, he stepped out of heaven as the divine Son of God. He came to this earth and he took on a body, a human body. Yet he was sinless because he was God. And he had to take on a body in order to grow into a man and go to the cross to die for your sins and my sins. And then he was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He was the Lamb of God. Back in the Old Testament, they had all those animal sacrifices, lambs and goats and everything that they offered continuously over and over and over. Well, Jesus was the final sacrifice. None of those sacrifices could truly atone for sin. None of them could truly take away sin. They were only temporary. They all pointed to the sacrifice, the final sacrifice, which was Jesus, the Lamb of God, upon the cross. And so it was God manifested in the flesh, and he came to this earth to die for the sins of the world, to bring sinful human beings to a holy God. We could have a right standing before God. Think about this here. The Son of God became the Son of Man in order that we might become children of God. Isn't that good? Man, that's so good, I'm going to repeat it. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that in order that we might become children of God. Somebody in the house ought to amen that. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. He confessed that Jesus is Lord. First of all, he acknowledged, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a rotten, no good for nothing, low down sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Lord Jesus, would you remember me? He confessed him as Lord. He confessed that Jesus was Lord, that he was his Lord. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33 says this. Jesus said, whosoever confesses me before men or before others, him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven. But Jesus said, whoever denies me before others, I'm going to deny them before the Father. You hear that? You see, we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, a verse that's usually ignored, says those that believe in him will not be ashamed of him. All right, so he confessed his Lord. What's the third thing he did? he did in order to get saved, become a Christian, go to heaven. He believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, now look at this, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. You say, preacher, that's not what that verse says. That's not exactly what it says, but that's certainly what the verse implies. To believe that he would rise from the dead meant that he believed he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he said, Lord, I know you're going to your kingdom. And he said, remember me. Remember what Romans 10:9 said that I just quoted a moment ago? It said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has what? Everybody look up here. Come on, let's quit watching the doors. Look up here. It said, if you confess with your mouth, what? That Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him what? From the dead. You shall be saved. All right? You got it? So what did he do to get saved? First thing he did, he admitted he was a sinner. He repented, didn't he? He repented of his sin. Right? Man, this is a tough group tonight. I can't get an amen out of anybody. Amen. Is anybody alive out there? I thought all these young people, man, they'd be shouting and having a time, man. Come on, y'all get with me. These old folks ain't going to do it. Amen? There we go. That's more like it. Okay. All right. Number one, he acknowledged that he was a sinner. Number two, he confessed that Jesus is Lord. Number three, he believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. But there's one more thing, and I'll be free. This has to happen for you to be saved. This has to happen. The final thing he did is he asked Jesus to save him. He asked Jesus to save him. You say, I don't see that, preacher. Then you're not looking at your Bible very well. Verse 42. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom.
Amen.
You know what that means? He's crying out for Jesus to save him. Amen? He's crying. He said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, remember me. I want to go with you. So he acknowledged he was a sinner. He admitted his need. He confessed that Jesus was Lord. He believed in his heart. And he called upon the Lord and he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. You know what Romans 10:13 says? It says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whosoever. You know what? I'm looking at a whole bunch of whosoever's tonight. There's a whole bunch of them over here. There's a bunch of them over here in this section. A whole bunch of them in this section, right here. A whole bunch of whosoever's. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what did Jesus say to him? Well, let's finish this up. In verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you. And those words, verily, verily, are just King James words that mean truly, truth. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can take it to the bank. You can write it down. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Isn't that good? That's it. That's what he did to be saved. Now I want you to notice a few things, and I'm going to give the invitation. This dying thief didn't quote any scriptures. You know why? He didn't know any. He didn't even own a Bible. New Testament wasn't even written yet. He didn't quote any scriptures. He did not, by his own admission, live a good life. He was a thief, he was a criminal, and he was caught and found guilty. And yet upon that cross, he called on Jesus and Jesus saved him, forgave him of his sin, and took him to heaven. I want you to know something else. He didn't join the church. Church can't save you. You can have your name on 1,000 church rows and die and go to hell.
That's right.
Church is important. Hear me, young people. If you're saved, you ought to join a church. You're saved, you ought to be baptized. You ought to join a church. You ought to get in a church. But listen, the church cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. You notice he wasn't baptized, was he? Some people say you got to be baptized in order to become a Christian, in order to go to heaven. Well, it's obvious he went to heaven. Jesus doesn't mind. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't get baptized. But having said that, if you're saved, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you have no excuse not to be baptized. You need to be baptized. That's an act of obedience. That's the first step of obedience of someone who's saved. That's how you identify with Christ. You say, I'm not ashamed of him. I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to be baptized to identify with him as one of his followers, all right? So church is important. Baptism is important. And you know what? If that thief could have been baptized, I'm sure he would have. If he could have joined the church, he would have. If he could have quoted some verses, he would have quoted some verses. He wasn't able to do any of that. But you know what he did? Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. We get to the most important part of this service. He acknowledged that he was a sinner. Yeah. A terrible sinner. He confessed that Jesus is Lord. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed that in his resurrection that he'd rise from the dead. And then he called upon the Lord. He asked Jesus to come into his heart and say, hear me. That's what it takes to be saved. There's not any other way. Not any other way. That's got to happen in your life. And when that happens in your life, if you're sincere and if you mean it, then God will be sincere and he will save you. Would you be willing tonight to do what that dying thief did on the cross in order to know that your sins are forgiven? In order to know that you're a child of God? In order to know that you'll go to heaven when you die? Well, so we're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to do that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Bow our heads and close our eyes.